Well, it's wonderful to be here. I was so excited that we had the students from Aptos High here to start me out, because that is what grounds us. That is the very reason why we are here, for the children, to make sure that they have their dreams come true. And so before I start, I do want to recognize that last night we did have a reorganization of the board, and so Aptos residents will feel wonderful to hear that now both our president and vice president come here from Aptos. And so I'd like to have President Kim DeSerfa go ahead and stand up. So they have been longtime advocates for Aptos, so you guys are in good hands with their support. So on Tuesday, it marked my 100th day as being the superintendent at PBUSD, counting the weekends, of course, because we keep working. And so I'm going to just do a few slides that have to do with me, just so that you get to know me a little bit. And then we'll talk quite a bit the remaining time about this document that you have, which is the 100-day report. And so for me, it's really important that people know that I come from a family of educators. So education, sometimes people say, well, the business is in the family. Well, in my case, the business is in the family. So that is my grandma. She was a librarian at the very elementary school that I went to. And so every summer and every weekend, she would have a box of books. And she would give me a little treat every time that I would read one of the books. And what it taught me was to love learning. And that children that love learning do better. And then this is my parents. This was the year I was born. So I'm a lady, so I won't tell you what year that picture was taken. But my mother was a principal. She started as a alternative ed principal, so working in the high schools, and then became an elementary principal. My father, who is my role model, was a superintendent himself for over 30 years. His last stint was in just 60 miles from here in Turlock. So. And then my sister is on the, I know we look alike, is on the left, and she is currently an assistant principal, and my niece is a special education teacher. The small one that's in my arms is my son, and no, he doesn't want to go into education. He wants to be a pro football player. We'll see how that goes for him. But that's what he wants. This is me the first year that I was a teacher. I was a dual immersion teacher, so for the first 8 years of teaching, I only spoke in Spanish in my classrooms, and I looped with those children 3 years. So I had them from first grade all the way up to fourth grade. Their parents wanted me to go with them to fifth grade, and I said, no, they're already calling me mom, so I think it's time we move on. But what my family taught me is that education is a great equalizer. And so that with education, everything is possible. So this is my current family. So this is my son. He's 17. This is the one that you'll speak more about him in a minute. And then my husband Juan, and this is them when they were younger. So with my son, he is my greatest inspiration. I use him in a lot of my talks, He is a great athlete, but he also does love school. He is currently, since very young, he was a football player and still is a football player. And so when our kids were coming talking about concussions, I was listening really closely. But we were able to go to Florida. We were national champions 3 years ago. So we went to Florida with his team, and he won. That's him making the winning touchdown, actually. And this is him just this year. He goes both ways, so he does both offense and defense. And he was invited to Oregon last summer to be part of their camp, and was just named All-League. So as you can tell, I'm proud mom of him. Wow. So now on to our students and why I'm here. So I believe that our students need us to be three things. One is that they need us to be instructional visionaries. And so some of the programs was mentioned from Santa Ana, but one is, and you'll start seeing it, we just had 7 of our school sites, Aptos High was one of the winners, where all the principals put out proposals to create a 21st century learning environment. Learning isn't the way it was, it used to be. And we can't continue to teach that way. We need kids that are critical thinkers, that are collaborators, and we need the rooms to be able to look that way. And so you'll see here, this is Advanced Learning Academy, that was the competency-based school. But you'll see that there's going to become more flexible learning environments where furniture can move. Children have the ability to not just sit and get, like I'm unfortunately doing for you right now, but rather that they can actually construct knowledge themselves. And we want them to have access to all the latest technology. So here we have a group of students who are actually building their own computer. And this is going to be at one of our maker spaces that's happening in Rolling Hills. And so these are students as creators of knowledge. It used to be that we wanted students that could take all this information and synthesize it. That's not enough anymore. We want them to actually create that learning. And we want them to have deep learning and a focus on the whole child. So just as you saw with the choir, we want our students to have access to a broad curriculum, not just math science, social science, and language arts, right? But we want them to be able to do that. So this is a summer program that we had that I want to move forward on here at PBUSD. So I also believe that our students need us to be lead learners. So instructional visionaries, lead learners. They have to know that us too as adults, we never stop learning. That we constantly are wanting to iterate and move forward. So this is when I got my doctorate from SC, so any Trojans out there, I am a fellow Trojan. And I got in educational psychology. I do believe in key partners, and Aptos community is rich with key partners, so I'm appreciative of that. I do a lot of work with Google because I was a consultant for Guru, which is an affiliate of Google. And then I did get my CBO certification from SC2. So I actually could be a CBO. That means the business person, the numbers person. But I preferred to stay on the instructional side. But going with the students, then they need to know that we as teachers, as administrators, that we learn together. And then we also need to learn from our students. So 2 of the students that you actually saw singing are in my student leadership group. So I meet with high schoolers every month from all the different high schools, including alternative high schools, to learn and listen to them. Because what we need to do is we need to make sure that what we're providing them is relevant and is interesting to them. And so we have to make sure that we're listening to our students. We also need to be activators of innovation. So that's the 3rd thing. We need to make sure that just like the entrepreneur club that was brought up a few months ago that everybody said was the best session that we've had here, we need children that have opportunities to do that all the time. Right? And so here you'll see a makerspace that I created, a STEM lab with the group. This is Advanced Learning Academy again. This is in their green screen. So as I mentioned, with the 7 proposals that are going to be popping up, 3 of them are going to feature, it was part of their proposals, are going to feature green screens. And so you'll see a lot of things working where students are able to fit, to follow their interests, passions, and talents, right? So when I speak with the high school students and I ask them, how should we change high school? They say, let me learn what I want to learn. Why do I have to learn what you want me to learn? And so we need to make it to where they learn what they need to learn in a setting that is interesting and relevant to them and allows them to follow those passions. And we already mentioned the competency-based school. So I've said many of times, probably people that work with me say, she said that a lot. But I say, The team is important. No one person can do it alone. So the team is what is important, because every one of you is important. Right? And so I held 106 listening sessions in 100 calendar days. So I was a busy gal. And my top four priorities were to build the relationships with the entire district as one team. We're not this division over here, this school over here, district versus sites, but we're one team working on a singular focus. And so I wanted to start building those relationships. I wanted to listen to the multiple stakeholders and make sure that I knew, so I talked to city, county, and lead through a shared purpose and vision. So everybody knows where we're going and why we're going there. And then celebrate early accomplishments, because there's a lot to celebrate. And we want to make sure that we celebrate it. So all of those, that 106, all that data wound up being encapsulated in this 12-page document, right? And so does it have everything? No, and it kind of speaks to it. But I'm going to go over some highlights today of what is in there. And then I have enough copies for everyone if more people want. So the main thing is we wanted to make sure that people knew where we were going. So we had the vision statement, but it really wasn't conceptualized or visualized so that people could see it in a nutshell. And we wanted to make sure that people started with the why. So why are we doing everything that we're doing? A lot of times, whatever it is, it doesn't even have to be in education, we start talking about the what and the how way before we start talking about why we're doing it. And then when people start saying, well, why are you doing that? Then that's when we actually start, that's when we say why we're doing it. So instead, we're focusing at PBUSD at realizing why are we going to do the innovation, why are we going to implement what we're moving forward. And all of it should always be a singular focus on students, that we want kids to have the capacity to be college and career ready. There's going to be some students that choose not to go to college, but it's our job to make sure they can if they want to. And we won't at sixth grade, at eighth grade, not even at 11th grade, be the ones as adults to say, we choose for you. But rather, we ensure that they have those skills, and then they can choose whatever their pathway is that they want to move forward on. But this kind of shows how we're going to be doing it, the what, and the structures. And the goal is to have a target for student success, so everybody knows where we're pointing it and directing at. And so through the information gathering session, so whether it was one-on-one with the mayor or whether it was at school sites with departments, whatever it was, I asked three questions of people. So I wanted to focus on what accomplishments they were proud of. We have a lot of good work going on, and I'm an asset builder. That means I want to build off of what's currently working and not change what's working. So in order to know what people were proud of and what they wanted, I asked that question. So each and every listening session was super positive, and it was because we spent a half of the time talking about what they did well and what they cared about. Then we did talk about the most pressing change facing either the district, the department, or the school. And what I told each and every school site and each and every department is one size fits none. So it is much easier as a superintendent or the district office to say every single school gets X. It's easiest, but it's not best. And so when I was interviewed, I made the commitment that I would treat each and every school as an individual school. And that I would look at each and every one and say, what do you need and how can we get you there? The question came up, well, can you really do that? And I said, well, I come from a school district three times the size and with 63 schools, and I did it there, so I know I can do it with 32. And so that is my pledge. That's been my pledge to Aptos High. It's been my pledge to Aptos Junior, Rio, Valencia, Mar Vista. Don't want to forget Mar Vista. And Mar Vista is that I will treat each and every one of them as individual schools to support and move them forward. And then I also asked them, what do I need to do to be successful in my position? And so there are four board goals. I'm gonna focus on three of them. All the points are not in here, but they are in my report. I did the ones that I thought that would be most interesting to y'all. So for the strengths and accolades, so the first one is universal achievement. So we want all students, our high performing, our middle of the road, and our low performing students to accelerate and to be able to reach their capacity. And so we have schools that are filled with great staff. And we have a very strong extended learning program. So we have after school programs for our children. We have intervention teachers because we want to catch them early. So when they don't, when they aren't being successful, then we can catch them early. We have infused 18,000 devices into the school district. So we have a large increase of technology. And every single time, teachers said they're willing to take risks and they're willing to do good work for our students. So we have a lot to build off of. Three recommendations that I'm recommending in this area is that we do continue to expand access to digital programs, because digital programs can actually help either a high performing or a lower performing student to have 24 access to learning, right? It doesn't have to stop. Once the school day stops, it doesn't have to stop. And it can help provide that individualized instruction for students. We are conducting an internal audit of special education because we have some work to be done there. And we want to make sure that we strengthen the program and that kids get supports in a timely manner. And then we also are conducting an EOA audit, or which is an equal opportunity audit. And basically what that will look at is each, from middle school to high school, it will look at what are the barriers to AP access and success, A through G completion, which is what you need to get to be in a four-year college, and then for some, what's getting in their way for graduation. For goal number two is sound operational oversight. So you may have started to see the signs. It was probably a long time coming. But we have they really did a great job this summer and started the Measure L projects, and they're still occurring, and there will be 22 schools under construction this summer under Measure L. So we're moving forward on that. We did hire a roving crew, and that resulted in us having no out of compliance, so we had the best Williams Act inspections in our history, and I already mentioned the proposals. We also, with the business services, we just received our positive audit, and we had zero findings, which is great for us. So for the recommendations is that we use the facilities master plan to do proactive maintenance of buildings. So right now we're kind of catching up. So we want to get ourselves to where we can be proactive versus reactive to what is currently happening. I am recommending that we hire a district grant writer. In Santa Ana, I had a grant writer directly under me, and in 1 year she was able to bring in $21 million. So yes, it is an expense, but one person brought in $21 million because that's all that she focused on. So we want to do that. We also want to hire an additional teacher on special assignment for the assessment and evaluation department, because we have a lot of money going into programs. And the question is, are we actually getting a return on our investment? So we're putting a lot of money into things, right? And so the question is how do we know it's working? And if it's not working, how do we change things around? And so for positive culture and climate, the site administrators have been working really hard on this. And so there is a strong commitment from all the teachers and administration and staff to work with families and communities. So everyone sees that parents are the first teacher, and that they actually add significant value to the educational lives of their children. I call parents the secret sauce. So they're the secret sauce for us. We have had the implementation of the Intelligent Classroom project. That includes all the teachers getting amplification systems. So you may have seen teachers that have a necklace around their neck that has a speaker. They also have a speaker that is able to pass through. I know all of us have been, when we were young, were in classrooms where the teacher was having kids speak and you were like, I can't hear that person at all. Well, now the kids actually have a mic and can do that. Although I will say, I've always been told to lower my voice, not raise it, so I think that I didn't really ever need it. We have reduced the expulsions. In 1 year, it went from 170 to 74 last year, and we're on target to lower it even more. The visual and performing arts has really increased, and so you saw some of the fruits of that labor. But we have infused 26 music teachers into the system in an effort to start with choral, begin the instrumental, and really reinfuse the system with music. And then we do have social emotional counselors at each of our schools now as well. And so the priority recommendations is really to really continue to look at, it's called RTI, but Response Intervention System, both academic and social. So making sure that kids have the immediate support that they need on both sides. We are going to, I'm suggesting that we expand the health clerks. There's a lot of new immunization requirements and program verification at the secondary sites. A lot of times the nurses, the health clerks aren't there. And so then that causes, if any of you have a seventh grade son, daughter, or a grandchild, you'll know that they can't start school until they have certain immunizations, right? We want those health clerks there in order to support that. I'm also suggesting that we increase by one district nurse, so we have health clerks at all the sites, and then we have district nurses that have a higher level of skill set that then move around the district. Currently, their caseload is very high, and we do have a rise in acute health conditions. And then this is something that has come up from a lot of teachers, but also from community, especially people in support like fire and police, really providing professional development to our teachers and staff on the effects of poverty and trauma informed instructional practices. Because we know that you don't have to live in poverty to have experienced trauma. This community is very aware of that from what happened not too long ago. And so we want to equip our teachers ahead of time. So again, we're being proactive and not reactive to what it was. And so that is, in a nutshell, what is here. And you'll see on the back my reflections of the 100 days. I think the most important thing, and the thing I can promise you, is that all of my decisions will be based on what's best for students, for children. And I will hold strong to that and make sure that each and every school site is in a better place as the years move forward. And so thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. I'd like to introduce Pastor Renee.
You know, every year the Aptos Chamber very